And welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagmann Report. It is Wednesday, October 15, 2025. I'm so happy that you're with me. With me as well, Ted Brower for the first segment, Austin Brower for the second. You know, yesterday, real quick, I just want to catch up on a few things. Some notes I took that I failed to address in yesterday's program. The message was pretty clear. Violence is about to be unleashed inside the United States. Okay. The left wing slash communist anarchist groups are the foot soldiers. They're the cannon fodder for the globalist agenda. And the leftists, specifically leftists slash communists, are getting a lot of support from the Islamic groups. For example, the October 7th group launched subsequent to the October 7th. But oddly, or perhaps not oddly, that whole situation is being helped by the Israel lobby. Okay. Go figure, right? But it's, look, the forensic breakdown and analysis of following the money, it's pretty clear. And I would say that the groups like Behind Enemy Lines, the younger, or the anti-Israel, specifically anti-Israel, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. Now, that, it's a lot different than anti-nation state Mossad stuff, okay? It's a lot different than that. But that is right now gaining ground with the younger demographic, especially in colleges. The no business, or the mantra for the groups I mentioned yesterday, pretty much all of them, is no business as usual. And a secondary talking point is escalate for Gaza. Now, is that still a thing given all of the recent events? Yeah, it is, and it will be, because of the lack of education and increased indoctrination of the younger generation. And again, remember I said that they're operating within the belly of the beast. They consider the U.S. the beast. And their method of operations, disruption and chaos, and the law enforcement, many agencies, with notable exceptions, including like Chicago and Portland, and you get the idea. They recognize, for example, various groups like Antifa, like Behind Enemy Lines, and others that I mentioned yesterday, as domestic terrorist operations, foreign-funded. Yes, Israeli funded. Yes, U.S. funded. I see community as well, along with the Democratic Left PAC and campaign funds. The real quick again, because I'm going to get right to you, Ted. The obscure shell groups, they provide the operational parts and funding and logistics. They're behind much of this. Okay, the big money groups. And I mentioned yesterday, too, Michael Boyd being part of the gee, I got wires hanging everywhere. He's part of the development of a lot of the pro-Hamas, different than pro-Palestinian. Please, let's make sure we're precise on this. Marxist vanguard, actually, for the communist revolution, and we're talking about trained Marxists, and they're training Marxists. And again, you're looking at groups like the Answer Coalition, Students for Justice in Palestine, and the Palestinian Youth Movement, as the groups I was referencing in yesterday's show. The lastly, Neville Roy Singham, of course, is a big deal in terms of at least in my research findings, and I think this corresponds with others, financing a lot of this mayhem. And of course, you have George Soros, but then you've got Alexander Soros taking the reins from George. And then you've got the family, extended family connections, and that gets into the Clintons, that gets into a lot of the people that are the usual suspects. So I don't want to, you know, I just wanted people to understand this. And the anti ICE riots. And if you folks, you can see on media right now, social media right now, where you can see where Chicago is really out of control. The judicial tyranny is out of control. We've got a feckless, weak piece of crap GOP. If you want to break it down by political party, Mike Johnson is useless. Thune is useless. And they're all talk, no action, big effing deal, right? Same stuff, different day. And I'm getting really, really getting sick and tired of this crap. And I want Ted to get into that as well. And one last thing. And I didn't really hit this that hard yesterday. I just want to tell you this. From our looking at what's going on, they want to bring the violence you're seeing out of Chicago, Portland, and again, all of the usual places. They want to push this into the suburbs, you know, suburbia, suburban America, because they, conversationally, when you look at the forums, when you get into the conversations, okay, and the general sentiment, you know, we live in the city, they live in the city primarily. So what they want to do is they want to move all of their actions into the suburbs and into rural America. And they're also planning, and some of their targets, of course, are, folks, we've heard this before, right? Schools, shopping centers, and no business as usual. And if they can't have their way, we cannot have ours. When I say we, I'm talking about the people who believe in the rule of law and who believe in the Constitution. And the last thing, and promise the last thing, the accountability, the lack thereof. We're going to be seeing some in the very, very near term. For example, John Bolton, I'm sure we're going to see some grand jury indictments. Yeah, we're going to see some other indictments here in the near future, I'm pretty sure. But, you know, how deep or when are we going to see the real, the actual, the planners, the plotters, the schemers, the actual people who are responsible for the desire to take over the U.S. Are we going to see that? Or is that going to just, is that just a pipe dream circle jerk that we're never going to see? And I think if it does become the latter, I will say this. Beware the patient man. Beware the patient man. With me is Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. Actually, teamhealthmasters.com. Teamhealthmasters.com. Going over a lot of things. And as well as, of course, you know, hey, if you don't have your health, my goodness, you know this. If you don't have your health, you don't have anything. So make sure you shore up on your health. Go to teamhealthmasters.com. Get their wide range of supplements. I've had people look at them, the medical doctors, and say, you know what? This stuff is really good. Good stuff. Teamhealthmasters.com. And while you're there, you can listen to or make it a point every day to listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. And they're, tell you what, it's an hour long information download. And that's every morning, every weekday morning, and of course on Sunday as well. Again, Ted and Austin Brewer Show, there it is on your screen. And the link to the show as well as the website will be at HagmanPI.com. I want to thank you for following us on Rumble, following us on X and other social platforms. And thank you for telling others about this program. Ted, welcome on. Welcome on board. Come on board, man.
Hey, Doug. It's so good to be back with you again. And, you know, again, some of the stuff that I look at, you know, online, like here's an article that with Meg Kelly. She said the unyielding conquest of how Muslim immigration to the West rejects assimilation and embraces supremacy. And in an excellent segment of her Sirius XM podcast, The Megyn Kelly Show, host Megyn Kelly dissected the stark realities of Muslim integration into the Western nations, including the United States, with her signature unflinching canter. Drawing parallels to Europe's unraveling social fabric, Kelly warned that the unchecked inflows from Muslim-majority countries are not benign quest for opportunity, but a deliberate strategy of cultural subversion. They're not coming to assimilate, they're coming to conquer, she asserted, citing surging demands for the Sharia courts, no-go zones, and public space of Islamic supremacy that clash with Western liberties, including stopping large amounts of traffic in New York City for their daily prayer rituals. Kelly's monologue echoing her longstanding critics of radical Islam from her Fox News Today's spotlights a profound threat, a demographic and ideological invasion that prioritizes caliphate building over integration. For conservatives, this is an alarmism, is a clarion call rooted in decades of evidence showing the Muslim immigrants' widespread refusal to adopt host nation values instead of importing a supremacist ideology bent on domination. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second here. You have to ask yourself a question, Doug. Who brought all these Muslims to the United States? Remember when Omar Gaddafi with Libya said, if you take me out, talking to Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, you're going to open the floodgates of the Muslim immigration and African immigration into Europe. And then Angela Merkel stood there with open arms and said, come on in. We want you from Somalia with your 56 IQs. We're going to start having you watch and run the BMW and Mercedes factories because we're out of workers. We can't find people who want to work any longer. And we want to bring you in and train you how to operate equipment. Now, the military has said that if a person has under a 90 IQ, they really can't be trained for anything practical in the military. These people have a 56 IQ. That's the average IQ from Somalia. These people are crazy enough to strap a suicide vest on themselves and think they're going to get 60 virgins or whatever it is and blow themselves up. They're that low of an IQ. Now, the problem with that is that these cultures have remained basically stagnant since the 1400s, since they tried to invade Europe. They were forced back out, under Queen Isabella and right about the same time Christopher Columbus. And I remember she took over the Muslim stronghold of Alhambra in Spain. And that's where she issued the sailing money for Christopher Columbus. And that had been basically vacated of Muslims pretty quickly before that. So the crazy part of all of this stuff is that the Muslim religion is a religion of conquest. They're right on this. And so they need to be left in the countries where they're located and not brought into our countries. I have a friend of mine. He's got a restaurant over in Lake Alfred. Great little restaurant, little tea room. Sharon and I used to go there all the time. I wouldn't go there as a single dude. It's pretty much become a gay dude to do that. But my wife and I used to go there all the time. And it was very good food, very high quality food. But he always wants to talk to me about the Muslims. He's already brought me a Quran. I kid you not, because he's proselytizing for his religion. Now, you think about that for a second. They're not Christians, period. But they do believe that Jesus was a very high prophet, only second to Muhammad. They believe that. And they believe the Virgin Mary was a great woman. Okay, so they have that in their tenets of the Quran. But the problem is when they want to come into another country and they're told by their caliphate or by their leaders or whoever there in that other country that they need to go out and do what they're going to do, they do it. Now, this was done to us by who? That's the question we have to ask. How in the world did we get millions of Muslims into our United States of America and not have to stop them at the borders? That would be the Democrats again, under Biden, and underneath Harris, underneath, Barack Obama. And they brought them in on purpose to basically bring in Cloward and Piven, which is from Berkeley. Those two unbelievably weird, communists. They said the only way to overwhelm the Republic is overwhelm the social welfare system and to bring these types of individuals in who simply don't want to work. Now, we have other people from other countries, over 100 of them were coming in across the borders while Biden was in office. Some people say up to 20 million came in. Now, whether that number is accurate or not, I don't know. But the crazy part about it, I know this, is the housing boom was unprecedented while Biden was in office. Unprecedented. BlackRock and State Street were buying up entire subdivisions before they even broke ground and basically selling the homes and then getting them inflated with their pricing as far as having other people come in and buy them and doubling the cost of the houses as far as what they could be financed for and then selling those. And now home foreclosures here in my area are through the roof because people can't pay a payment on a house that they paid $800,000 for that's worth $300,000. So we've got that major thing going on right now. So then you have to just step it back another notch. Let's look at Operation Gladio. There's a really good book out called The Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. And the thing about that book is it talks about how in Germany, after World War II, they set up terrorist cells with the Germans did under General Galen, who basically worked with the OSS, who became the CIA, to blow things up in Europe to try to stop the onslaught, supposedly, of communism and to try to make people aware of what's going on with the communists. And the communists weren't doing anything. It was the CIA in Operation, Gladio. Then they did the same thing in South America with Operation Condor. So the problem that I've got with all of this stuff as far as saying the Muslims are organized to do this, which they could be in some certain areas, they most definitely could be, and they could be trying to get ready to do a jihad or a holy war against the United States, and that's a very possible, very real possibility. But we've got an unbelievable military. you know, that can come in and quell any of that anytime we want. You know, Trump's already using the military in Chicago and other different Democratic hellhole states that are basically unbelievably out of control. So I don't think they have the ability to come in and do anything to us. The question that I have, again, is who brought them here to start with? Who brought the 20 million people in to start with? And who took down Building 7? Oh, imagine that. I brought that up, didn't I? The same people who took down Building 7 are doing this. It's the same group of Kabbalist, Luciferian, Synagogue of Satan people that are basically running the planet through pharmakia, which is what the Bible says, and basically working behind the scenes using front guys in order to do their dirty work for them so they can say, oh, we had a Muslim blow this city up. Oh, we had a Muslim blow this school up. But in reality, just like Operation Gladio and Operation Condor, we have no idea if that person was a Muslim because usually they blow themselves up too. We know that we may think they were a Muslim, but because the media lies so much, we don't know. Now, remember, their mantra is out of chaos will come a new world order. That's what they believe. That's what they want. Now, they definitely want chaos. Now, people are saying, well, we're going to have World War III and we're going to be dropping nuclear bombs everywhere. No, we're not. I'm going to tell you why right now.
Before you go into that, if I can just add something here before we get too far away from what's something you mentioned. You mentioned Operation Gladio. Okay. My friend, Paul Williams is the author of the book Operation Gladio, the unholy alliance between the Vatican CIA and the mafia. Okay. Now, yeah, he's written some other books as well, including The Day of Islam. And, actually, I think maybe a couple of chapters are based on my investigation of Islamberg. So that's really a really important point you brought up. And, look, I just want to again, just reemphasize this and then allow you to pick up. But people, I think it's important, Ted, that, you know, when you talk about Building 7 and the, you know, events subsequent to World War II and through the present day, that people have better clarity, in my view. And some of the things, I'll just cite like two or three real quick examples. When you look at events, post-World War II events, you're looking at this, as you stated, this unholy alliance of American spies, the American intelligence community, the criminals that were replicated pretty much throughout Europe. And after Nixon became president, and this is when things really ramped up, and this is important history for what you're about to say, I believe. Okay. There was this tension buildup that gained steam, gained momentum. You look at Henry Kissinger, and he issued orders for coups across Europe, basically. The U.S. and the Vatican channeled just a crap ton of money for those operations. And the money, of course, was dark money. A lot of it came from questionable places. All right. So, but last point I'm going to make here. Operation Gladio, the coup attempts cited by Paul Williams and verified through statistics. And again, this is important. And I'm going to back off and shut up and give you the rest. And there were between December of 1969 and the end of 1987, roughly, there were about almost 15,000, just south of 15,000 acts of violence, terrorism, with a political motivation that took place from January 1st, 1969, through the end of 1987, and in those attacks, about 500 people were murdered, 1,200 injured, and a lot of these attacks, these killings, were done through operations by way of the United Nations and the globalists you're referencing today. I just wanted to add that for clarity and specificity, and I thank you for allowing me to do that. Go ahead and continue, sir. I'm going to back out and be quiet. Okay, there you go.
Well, what happened is during World War II, we had a lot of people who were saboteurs. And what happened is let me give you one example of the USS Normandy. A lot of people never heard of this ship. It was actually one of the fastest ships ever built. It was a French passenger ship, and it was seized and by our government to turn into a troop transport carrier. And they had taken Lucky Luciano and sent him off to basically, they exiled him to Sicily or in prison somewhere. And they basically couldn't control the New York harbors as far as the docks with the with the Teamsters or anything else. And basically, somebody got into the docks and they sank the SSS Normandy on its at its pier and destroyed the ship. And then they came up, after that all happened, they came up with Operation Underworld. And Operation Underworld was the United States government's code name for its cooperation with the Italian-American mafia and the Jewish organized crime figures from 1942 to 1945. The operation aimed to counter Axis spies and saboteurs along the U.S. northeastern seaport ports to avoid wartime labor union strikes and to limit theft by black marketeers of vital war supplies. In the first 3 months after the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, the U.S. lost 120 merchant ships to German U-boats and surface raiders in the Battle of the Atlantic. And in February 1942, the SS Normandy, a captured French ocean liner that was being refitted as a troop transship in Lafayette in the port of New York, caught fire, capsized, and sank into the Hudson River, as allegedly sabotaged by arsonists. Mafia boss and one-time murder head Albert Mad Hatter Anastasia allegedly claimed responsibility for the sabotage, according to the Jewish mobster Meyer Lansky and Charles Lucky Luciani, one of the bosses of the New York Mafia's Five family and the founder of the America's Mafia Commission. The United States government portrayed the loss of the Normandy. I'm reading right out of Wikipedia. The United States government portrayed the loss of the Normandy as an accident. No evidence was ever produced linking the Axis spies to the loss of the Normandy. So Operation Underworld, they used these crime figures to come in and take care of the port and the New York City docks so this would not happen again. Now, when all of this was going on, the United States had the OSS, which was basically the precursor of the CIA. And after the war, General Galland out of Germany, who was basically a Nazi, came to the United States there after the war, and they said, we need to fight communism. Remember, even Patton said that. Now, you can argue with me about this if you like, whatever you want to do. He said that we had basically fought the wrong people, fighting the Germans, and we should have basically fought the Russians and gotten rid of the doggone communist scourge that was in the United States and in Europe and in Russia. And personally, I agree with him on that.
I did too.
Of course, he ended up getting killed right away, right after that. Now, and what Patton wanted to do is rearm the German troops and start and go after the Russians. That's what you read the Patton papers. I'm not making this stuff up. And he even says this, if you watch the movie Patton, he talks about it in the end of the movie. He actually says some of these same things. Great movie, one of the greatest movies ever done. Now, what happened is this General Galen came to the United States as far as the OSS before it became the CIA and said, would you like to have us do these Operation Gladios, Operation Condor in South America, which they really weren't involved with to begin with, with General Galen, and just let people know how bad communism is? And our government bid on it and said yes. The problem is they couldn't fund it. So they went to Miles Satelli and they said, hey, look, how are you keeping a million-man army afloat? Because I sell opium to the masses. Now we're going to get into the whole thing with the tie-in with the mafia. And so what they decided to do was start running opium out of Southeast Asia. And then that's what the Vietnam War was indirectly all about. And they were bringing in 50 kilos of heroin in the body bags on the caskets of the soldiers that were being killed. And the more soldiers they had killed, that's why they'd take the same hill, in my opinion, dozens of times if they needed to, with more body bags and more caskets, they could bring more opiates into the United States. Now, you watch this in the movie The Godfather, the first part, and they talk about how they were bringing the drugs into the United States and who they wanted to sell the drugs to. I watched the movie just the other night. And these crime families out of New York then started basically setting up different districts where they could sell the drugs. They were working with the CIA as far as bringing the drugs in. That's why a lot of the drugs that are coming out of Mexico, or supposedly out of Mexico, or out of China, a lot of these drugs are basically being brought in by the CIA. In order to try to control the drug trafficking. We saw that with the cartels that we had in South and Central America underneath President, underneath President Reagan. Remember, you can go watch the movie that Tom Cruise did. What was the name of it? It was American Made, one of the best movies Tom Cruise has ever done. It goes into detail in a lot of this stuff. And with Bill Clinton, governor of Arkansas at the time, in the MENA, Arkansas situation they had there with the air bases, they're running drugs and running armament and basically soldiers back down to Central America. Now, the crazy part of all of this stuff is they wanted to fund it. And then the Vietnam War ended up in a big mess. They started basically bombing, Cambodia and Laos, because they were also growing poppies in Cambodia and Laos, and they were basically competing with the U.S. supply of basically poppy being sent into the United States, and they didn't want that. Well, they ended up doing a bunch of geoengineering then, and they basically flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and they rendered the climate there very, very unfavorable for poppy, so they moved it all into Afghanistan. Do their history on it. You can read the book. Same book.
Absolutely critical. Folks, there is some really important history that Ted just provided to you, the geoengineering, and a lot of people, Ted, might say, well, cloud seeding is not geoengineering, or vice versa.
It's the beginning of it, Doug.
Exactly. And that began the refinement of where we're at today.
Oh, yeah. And they flooded the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and then they moved all the equipment, all the stuff to Afghanistan. Well, as soon as they moved it all to Afghanistan, growing the poppy there, guess what? The Vietnam War ended. And the Bay of Tonka, that never even happened, guys. It was a complete false flight. It was a lie. It was a precipitate war to try to control the poppy supply. Kennedy knew this. That's why he wanted to get rid of the CIA. It's one of the reasons they killed him. And Johnson was neck deep in all of this mess. And so what ended up happening is then they moved, after they finished bombing Europe, doing what they wanted to do in Europe, they moved they took their resources down into the South American areas and did the same thing in South America. And there they were using the Catholic Church. That's why the name of the book is Operation Gladio, the Unholy Alliance with the CIA, the Vatican, and the Mafia. And ties it. If you read the book, it'll make a whole lot more sense. And of course, they were using the Vatican money, but then they got tired of paying the Vatican. They wanted to do their own money. And it goes into detail on how they were using the money to basically fund their black ops without having to basically go through Congress to get funding. And that's why we still have that type of activity going on today. And they work with the mafiosa groups still to this day, organized crime, in the distribution of their narcotics worldwide. And we see this with 1,000 lily pad bases that our U.S. government has. And they can fly these planes, these C-130 transports, all over the world with no inspection whatsoever, including back into the United States and bringing the drugs back. Now you think, that's awful. Okay. So we have to ask ourselves a question then. Who took down Building 7? Who's doing this? Who's the man behind the curtains? And it's not a man, it's an entity. It's Lucifer. Our battle's not against flesh and blood, but it's against these things on the other side of the veil. And that's what we have here, is a fight. So you ask yourself a question. Lucifer, in Genesis chapter 6, created an energy network around the planet, probably using pyramids, in which he was able to create a field of energy so negative that every thought of every man was evil all the time. They've done the same thing with the 5G and the 6G networks. They have this energy field they can turn on or turn off anytime they want with 5G, 6G. They've literally spent probably over $1 trillion globally in order to install this stuff. A lot of it went in during COVID when everything was shut down. Somebody would, quote, notice. We had cell towers popping up everywhere back then. Now, I thought we were all closed down and we couldn't, had to wear masks. Not with these guys. They did whatever they wanted to do. Now, the problem that you got here is this. When Lucifer had Genesis 6, when every thought was being controlled all of the time, he did not want to destroy his own infrastructure. You got to remember who's in charge of this planet. It's the God of this age. It's Lucifer. It's not our God. Just let Lucifer do what he does. I covered that in Angel Wars in depth on our website. You got to listen to that website, listen to that story, that series that I did, to make any sense out of this stuff. So what happens is Lucifer controlled the pyramids or the energy fields around the planet back with Noah. Thoughts were evil all the time. God said, you know what? Here, I've had it. I'm done. Sit back, watch this. And we took Noah with clean seed and started the human race over again because it wasn't infiltrated with Nephilim DNA. Okay. So, but these things, these entities were here before and after the flood. I could read you the scripture. It says it in Genesis 6. So what ends up happening is they start doing the whole thing over again. Now they're finally thousands of years past the flood, and they're finally getting to the point where they're building their own infrastructure back up again to control and enslave human beings and put us into a hive mind. That's the goal here. See, they give you all of these things. The Muslims are doing it. The Jews are doing it. The Italians are doing it. The Germans are doing it. The Russians are doing it. And it's all to distract you. That's what it is. It's all theater. The Bible says that we're like at a theater on a show. The whole universe is watching to see what happens next, kind of like a Truman Show. That's our planet here. And so what they're doing is they're continually causing conflict all over the world. The same guys who took down Building 7 are doing this. And they sit back and they laugh because they're answering to Lucifer. The same guys that are saying, it's the Muslims, it's the Luciferian group doing this. It's the Jews, it's the Luciferian group doing this. It's the Germans, it's not. It's Lucifer doing this. It's the fallen angels doing this. Because they hate human beings because we have a soul and they don't. We're in the image of God and they're not. We have a plan for salvation and they don't. And so they're mad. They want to be us. They're jealous of us. And they're angry because God did what he did with us and made us in his image. So that group runs the planet. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. They're never going to destroy their own 5G, 6G system. And they're never going to drop nukes everywhere, causing Compton effects and causing nuclear blasts everywhere. It's going to destroy the infrastructure and fry all the electronics. They're never going to do that. This is all obfuscation they put out in the media over and over. Putin's going to launch the nukes. Putin's going to do this. Putin's going to do that. Who do you think put Putin in power? It's the same guys who took Building 7 down. It's the same group. It's always the same group. It's the same group that caused the Russian Revolution and put the central bank into Russia. It's the same group that caused the Chinese Revolution and put the same central bank into China. It's all controlled by the same group that's controlled by the same entity on the other side of the veil. That's what we have to understand. So what they want us to do is to take our eyes off of Jesus, the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith, who created us. They want to take our eyes off of him, and they want us to basically put them on all of these things so you don't pay attention to what Charlie Kirk was talking about, is that we need to have our hearts and minds right with Christ Jesus. We need to be walking in love and not allowing all of these distractions to continually entrap us into that way of thinking. It's a negative mindset, and it doesn't do any good for anybody. That's why on the Ted Nostrobrower show, we always try to come back at the end of the show and talk to you about Jesus, talk to you about Christ, talk to you about having a positive attitude, because that's what changes your life. Let me explain something to you. Death is a lie. Heaven is real. You don't die. Newsflash. You just change energy forms. You go somewhere else. I'm just letting you know that. There's no such thing as death. Death is a lie. And the Bible says that God, because of what Jesus did, that he overcame both death, hell, and the grave. We don't have to have fear of all that stuff anymore. But they want us to walk in fear because they've been cut off from God's energy source when they rebelled. And they've got to use fear as a form of energy to absorb into their systems in order to feed themselves. That's why it's constant negative news, negative news, negative news, negative news, negative news all the time. That's why they do that. And that's why I won't participate in all that stuff. I won't do it. I refuse to. Because God has given us life and given to us abundance. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind, according to the book of Timothy. And that's why when I see this stuff on TV, and I see this stuff in the Wall Street Journal, and I see this stuff on Drudge, it's all fear porn. And I'm like, gosh almighty, this is unbelievable. We keep our hearts and minds in Christ all the days of our life, and then we get to be in heaven with God for eternity. There's no downside for a Christian. And that's what Charlie Kirk was trying to tell everybody. We got to walk in love. And we got to show that the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan is doing this. They're the ones that worship Lucifer. They're the ones that Stanley Kubrick talked about at Eyes Wide Shut with their human sacrificial rituals and their mansions and all their perversion they did. This is a group like Jeffrey Epstein, who took all those young girls into that 9-story mansion in New York City and told everybody, oh, you're safe to take this 25-year-old up to the 9th floor. You'll be safe. There's nobody up there. It's empty up there. Go find a bedroom. Go have fun. Well, the guy goes up there. He's a congressman. He's a judge. He's whatever. He's a legislator. He walks up to the 9th floor with this girl, and he thinks, oh, my God, I got this beautiful 25-year-old woman. I shouldn't be with her because I'm married. But no one's going to know. I'm on the 9th floor. He doesn't know there's 25 video cameras inside that room. He doesn't know that. He goes up there, does what he's going to do, turns right back around, and they contact him a month later. By the way, got bad news for you. We made a mistake. She wasn't 25. She was 13. He goes, what? Yeah, she was dressed up like a 25-year-old, but she was 13, 14 years old. And we got you on videotape. So now guess what? You're going to do what we want you to do. Where's the video list? Where's the Epstein list? They won't let us see it. And he did this for decades. Finally, he got busted for trafficking underage girls, went to prison, sort of, for a little while here down in Florida, got a sweetheart deal. And now we basically have Elon Musk saying that Donald Trump was actually on the list with the rest of these other individuals. And all of a sudden, Elon Musk gets booted out, shows up with a black eye, leaves, and basically is not invited back to the White House again. And he also wanted to audit Fort Knox. That's the other thing he really made a mistake with. They don't want him going to Fort Knox because Nixon basically knew that the gold was pretty much gone. We took us off the gold standard back in the 70s. That's why gold, they're saying, can go up to $10,000 an ounce now. Silver's already over $50 an ounce, and gold's over $4,000 an ounce. I had a good friend of mine, Doug, a few months back. He called me up, and he asked me about 10, 15 years ago. He said, what's the best investment I can invest in? I said, my opinion, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not giving you financial advice. I'd go to gold. Gold was around $800 an ounce then. He goes, okay. He put millions of dollars in gold. Now, instead of having $2 million, he's got like $15 million. And you see, the thing about it is that gold maintains its value. When my mom was in Germany during the Weimar Republic, little girl, she told me they would go to the grocery store, Doug, with a wheelbarrow full of money. It was 40 billion Deutsche Marks to buy one loaf of bread. That was equivalent to about, well, it was 4-1 to start with, so it'd been about, $10 billion American dollars for that amount of money. But that shows you how worthless the amount of money that they were using for loaf of bread was actually worth. She told me they would actually go and take the money instead of going to the grocery store or to the firewood store to burn, to buy firewood to heat the furnace in the house, that they would burn the money in the furnace because it was cheaper to burn cash than it was to burn wood. That's what happened to the money. And the same groups that did the same thing to Germany in 1920 in the Weimar Republic, they did it to the United States in 1929 when they took the M1 money supply and they reduced it. The same ones who put the Federal Reserve Bank into place. That's why you need to read the Creature from Jekyll Island. This is the group behind the curtain. It's the Sabbatean Kabbalist Luciferian Synagogue of Satan. That's who it is. Whether you want to believe it or not, they make a difference. That's what it is. And this is a group that always does all of this stuff because you got to follow the money. Jesus said it was the love of money that's the root of all evil. It was the love of money that caused Lucifer to fall in the pre-Adamic race and be judged by God when he tried to stage a coup d'etat against heaven and a third of creation fell. I cover this in Angel Wars and I give you the scriptures for it. So all of this stuff is part of the plan that we see now unfolding in front of us to create a new world order. It says out of chaos will come a new world order. But if we don't pay attention to the chaos and we don't listen to them and we don't start hating each other and separate, you know, I was reading an article just a few minutes ago before we came on the air, and it's talking about how the liberal woke left is going to have the transgenders come out and riot in all the cities. A transgender is a very unhealthy individual. Especially if they were a man and now they're a female and they've got a gaping hole that's trying to heal. They're taking all kinds of antibiotics and medications all the time, trying to stay a female with that hole trying to heal. Just instead of being a little crude here, that's what happens. It's not normal to cut your appendage off and leave a gaping hole in your body. They're not healthy. They don't want to pick up arms. They don't want to grab an AR-15. They don't want to grab hand grenades. They don't want to get in a trench. They're just trying to stay alive, and about 90% of them regret what they've done, and about half of them try to commit suicide. So they're going to be the ones that are going to be fighting against us, the trannies? No, that's the verdict that they gave us from Charlie Kirk. It's a transgender. He had a friend who was a transgender, and he shot. Let me say something to you. And I said this to you a few weeks ago when I was on Doug's show. A 30-06 is a powerful round. It'll go through half-inch plate steel. I have a 30-06. I shot it a few times. It hurts like the Dickens. It hurts to shoot that gun. It's easier to shoot a 50 caliber Barrett with a recoiling barrel on it than to shoot that 30-06. That 30-06 is powerful, and there's no way his neck stopped that bullet. Impossible. Now, there's all kinds of other theories out there since I was on last. It was lapel mic that blew up. Okay, it was somebody behind him with a camera gun. All kinds of stuff could have happened, but it wasn't a 30-06. I have no idea. This is the same thing they did to us, Doug, with the Kennedy assassination. They gave us so many plausible theories that nobody knew what happened. Oh, the bullet turned around and went backwards and went the other direction. How does a bullet do that? And they think the American population is so stupid they're going to believe all this stuff. A 30-06 caught in the neck in soft tissue here would blow the head off. I'm just telling you what would happen. You may have it hanging there by a strand of flesh or whatever, but it's going to be pretty much blown off. It would have done what it did to him. So he was the one preaching love and forgiveness, and suddenly he starts criticizing certain countries, and suddenly they start threatening him. Suddenly Candace Owens comes out and says the same thing, and suddenly he's dead. So always ask yourself a question. Who are you not allowed to criticize, and why are you not allowed to criticize them? Because many times the people don't realize that when you start telling the truth about certain things or certain countries, like you say, Russia's all this, or Germany's all this, or Israel's all this, or the United States is all that, and you start lying, you start following the narrative. You know, Mancal Mueller, who was a huge radio guy years and years and years ago, good friend of mine, he told me a long time ago, he says, Ted, if you go down the middle and you criticize the Republicans and the Democrats, they will take you off the radio. If you galvanize and you criticize Republicans and you love Democrats or vice versa, and you can push it and make people take sides, they love you and they'll let you get big and give you a fortune. But you can't let people develop critical thinking skills. You can't make them think twice. You know, Scott Fitzgerald, the writer of The Great Gatsby, he said that sign of true genius is to be able to take both sides of the narrative and argue equally as fervently on both sides of the narrative, on both sides of the case. In other words, I think that person's guilty who stole my cell phone. I think that person's not guilty who stole my cell phone. And I argue equally as fervently on both sides of that about the person who supposedly stole my cell phone. And if you have that kind of ability, you have the ability of critical thinking. That's why George Carlin said, they don't want a country full of critical thinkers. They want a country full of basically workers, just smart enough to run the machines. Just shut up. Basically, they already control all the politicians. They control all the media. They control everything. So they want you to shut up and just do what they tell you to do. And that's the problem they've had now with the new Gutenberg press, which is the internet. That's why, you know, a country that I won't want to mention just bought TikTok.
Let me ask you a question here. Are you saying, now with respect to the events of the murder, horrendous, heinous murder of Charlie Kirk, we can look at the minutia. And I don't mean to minimize what happened, the actual event, the shooting, the mechanics, the ballistics. But, you know, I see so many people focused on, was it 30-06? Couldn't have been. It could have. But we're, to me, that, okay, we need to, obviously, we need the truth on that, obviously. But right now, we're not going to get the truth on what exactly happened unless we have verifiable evidence about the condition of Charlie's body by way of authenticated documents of examination, x-rays, and everything else, okay, from a medical examiner that, that hopefully we can trust, or if not, we have to look deeper. But aside from that, beyond that, okay, to me, the events leading up to and immediately after, those are events that we can look at and say, wait a second now. Okay, can we prove? I mean, what exactly happened? What was the result of that murder that really traumatized the nation? And then let me ask you one other thing here, specifically because you brought this up. And Mankow, in fact, I just happened to see his guest appearance on a television show about probably 10-15 years ago that he was on. Anyway, and I've spoken to him by way of you, and I think he's an extremely intelligent man. But having said all of that, how can you deny, for example, that there is an agenda to push the perversion of this trans agenda, perversion to attack the nuclear family? Because I right after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I put up a picture of an American, of a nuclear family, husband, wife, couple of children. And that's God's gift to mankind. That's the target of these bastards out there who are responsible for everything you're talking about. The principalities of darkness we're fighting, they don't want that. They don't want everything that's good. They don't want God's creation or God's goodness. Is it not? Now, about the left versus right, in my opinion, and tell me if I'm wrong on this, in my opinion, you're seeing the Democratic Party turn into this ravenous, loathsome, perverted, ungodly, satanic entity that hates all of us. Now, that's pretty much the embodiment of the left, that mentality. There are some people on the right that are pushing that as well. But is that not the practical battle that you and I and everyone listening and watching this, that are we not fighting that in the name of righteousness, in the name of God? So
No, that's exactly what we're fighting, Doug. Okay. And the reason I mentioned that transgenders don't want to go into battle with us and be in a foxhole is because they're physically ill, mentally ill. They don't want to do that, but they're going to tell us they're going to want to do that, but they're not. You know, what happened is back in 1933, they basically in Germany, in Frankfurt, there was a place called Goethe University, and it had the group of scholars that were out of Russia called the Frankfurt School. They were trying to figure out why Germany had not embraced communism. That was why they were there. They were a group think tank, and they were going in and questioning Germans. Why won't you embrace communism? Why won't you do this? And finally, that group basically left quickly in 1933 when Hitler took power and the chancellery burned, and he basically declared himself Führer. They went to Switzerland. They fled because they were Jewish, and they left there, and they went to the United States. And when they went to the United States, they realized that they had to set up cultural Marxism in the university systems, which subverted the nuclear family and destroyed the nuclear family, because that's how you destroy the republic. You got to take the family out. My dad asked me one time, he goes, Ted, how did Rome fall? And I said, Dad, I guess the barbarians came. He goes, no, man, nobody could defeat the Roman army. He says, Romans stopped raising little Romans, Ted. That's how they fell.
Right.
I thought, Dad, you're right. And that's what we've done. They've stopped. They've allowed us to now stop raising little Romans. I told you this story. I went to a birthday party a few months back, you know, with a girl, a friend of mine, her name was Melina. And she had like four of her friends there with her, and they were married, and the guys were, I thought they were all gay, and they were married to these other girls. And all the guys were the betas, the females were the bread provider. All the guys are wearing princess bracelets. And I shook one of their hands. They wanted to meet me, and they started screaming like a little girl that I was hurting their hand because I was squeezing it too hard. I mean, it was unbelievable to me. And I left there. I told Melina, I said, is this the dating pool for your age bracket? I mean, my God, they're all a bunch of gay dudes. And she goes, pretty much. I'm like, this is awful. That's because of the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism. There's a really good book that's been really put back into the history books as far as nobody wants to talk about it. It was called Modern Woman, The Lost Sex, 1947, was popular in the 1950s when America needed a baby boom. Its thesis is that feminism turned women into neurotics by undermining their natural biological functions of wife and mother. It's a very interesting book. I looked through part of the summary of that just the other day. It was by Maureen Farnham and another guy made of Lumberg. They were social psychiatrists and basically, psychologists. And it said that as men returned to the labor force after World War II ended, many women were hesitant to leave their newfound strength and independence realized outside of the home. They were building bombers. They were building airplanes. They were building all kinds of, armaments. This created a conservative cultural backlash whose proponents encouraged women to return to the home and to a more traditional domestic gender role so men could reassume the role of financial provider and family protector, provider and protector. The late 1940s and 50s were thus characterized by domestically and religious and respectability and security through compliance with the system that God had put into place. That catalyzed the social movement of women back into the household. Thus, Lundberg and Farman's study of female psychology sought to provide scientific basis to encourage Americans to reclaim households and restore their pre-war social order. In other words, to hold on to the nuclear family, Doug. Lundberg and Farman framed their argument during a period of rampant unhappiness and raising neurosis because the women were in the workplace now. This neurosis is not merely affecting draft-age men returning from World War II, but the majority of the American population, according to the author, between one-quarter to one-third of all people are neurotic, while additional one-quarter to one-third have some neurotic character traits or some psychological weakness or ailments of psychics in origin. This is a really good book, and it starts talking about what happened, with the males need to prove themselves, results in improved science and technology, and women running around in coats and ties, and all the stuff that they did and what they pushed through the Frankfurt School when they came over here to the United States and went through the university system and started telling women they could do whatever they wanted to do. They tried to do this in the Roaring Twenties. They tried it again. The same communists, same perversion. They did it throughout the country, and that's why we had the Roaring Twenties. The problem they didn't have back then, they didn't have birth control pills. They didn't have birth control. They didn't have condoms. Yeah. They didn't have, so all of a sudden we have all these women that are pregnant, and now all of a sudden these women are going, wait a minute, now we have to have orphanages. And then all the STDs started, and we didn't have penicillin. All this stuff happened in the 20s. So it all scaled back because everybody goes, wait a minute, we have orphanages now with hundreds of thousands of children that were born out of wedlock. What are we going to do with this? So the entire world went back, especially after 1929, after the market fell and the nuclear family was being restored as people were moving back to their homes and their farmlands just to buy food and have food. I talked to Inez one time. She was my stepmother. My father remarried somebody else. After he divorced my mom, and I remember I talked to her one time, and I said to her, I said, did you have food to eat during the Great Depression? She goes, absolutely. We were on a farm. We could grow as much food, had livestock. We had plenty of food to eat. We just didn't have any cash. Money was gone because the M1 money supply had been taken away by the same Kabbalist Luciferian synagogue of Satan people that took down Building 7 decades later. And that same group of people are the ones that went in and seized thousands of family farms, which is what they've done now. And remember what Klaus Schwab said? Gute Klaus Schwab, was hat er gesagt? Er hat gesagt, by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. That's what Klaus Schwab said. Forgive me, my German accent with Klaus Schwab's a little bit off. But the point was, that's exactly what he said. They don't want you to own anything. That's why BlackRock and State Street were coming in and taking over entire subdivisions and saying, hey, we're going to buy it all. I went to a subdivision across the street from us and I said, I'm looking at buying a house for a friend. Sold out, sorry. Went to another subdivision across the street. Sold out, sorry. I said, who bought it? And I started looking it up. It was BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard. They bought up entire subdivision. Remember Klaus Schwab said, you know, nothing by 2030 to be happy. I mean, it's unbelievable, Doug. And then they hyperinflated the price of cars back in 21, 22 with all the stimulus checks they gave. The reason we have gold at 4,000 an ounce now is because we threw $7 trillion into the M1 money supply. That's why gold has gone through the roof. Gold right now should be 40,000 an ounce, and silver should be at least 2,000 an ounce, 20-to-1 ratio. The problem is, will they let it go up that high? I don't know. Now there's an actual shortage of COMEX silver, and they can't fulfill contracts out of London. And now we're actually flying. We're flying silver back to London from the United States smelteries in order to try to let them fill their contracts so the price of silver doesn't just keep spiking higher and higher and higher. Remember, they're building those AI data centers all over the country, hundreds of them. Those electronic components in those data centers require huge amounts of silver as a conductor. Gold is better, but it's too expensive. So they've been using silver. Now they can't get their silver anymore to build the AI data centers. It's the AI data centers and the AI that's been keeping the American economy afloat with the trillions of dollars of money going out right now, Doug. Now,
to me, one way to solve this crisis, and I'm not saying it's the way, but one way would be for all those contracts out there, demand physical delivery.
Oh, Doug, they're doing that. That's why they're having to ship it over. Now, what's going to happen is, you know, I remember silver's over 50. Ounce now. Right, it'll probably go to 200 pretty quick.
Yeah.
And, you know, see, and that's the problem that we have when we don't realize how short we are as far as metals, because they've been using naked shorts on the COMEX now for decades to make people settle their products in paper instead of silver or gold. That's the only way they've suppressed the amount of silver and gold. They've suppressed the price of silver and gold by using naked shorts. They'll say, I'm going to sell 5 million ounces of silver today. They don't have any silver to sell. They're selling paper. And they're going to say, we have no bottom on this. So that is just, it drives the price down until it gets and it holds it down, and that's what it does constantly. Now the problem is, from an industrial standpoint, they've run out of silver, and from a gold standpoint, they realize that the blue chip stocks, like they did in the Weimar Republic, and the gold and silver assets held its value. So the money, the smart money, is now going into metals and blue chips. That's where they're headed, and that's part of what we have to realize is that if we don't realize that we need to maintain our wealth, what ends up happening is we end up losing our wealth, and we do exactly what happened to those farm families back in the 20s. They start losing their farms. They start losing the ability to make. We had people had farms in their families for over 100 years, and they lost them because they had borrowed the money against the farm, though it was paid for, to invest in the stock market because the market was going up so fast.
Right.
My dad told me about it.
Look, you're a smart guy. So here we are, 2025. And look, people are absolutely, you know, saying to the moon with silver, just excited about the value. And of course, it's the question, folks, is silver and gold, or is the value really going up, or is the dollar
going down,
right? The purchasing power of the dollar. So how do you see then, because you know history, you're a smart guy, how do you see this playing out?
Well, there's a book that everybody needs to read, Doug. It's called The Richest Man in Babylon. I read it 45 years ago. Changed my life. And it said in that book, it says, what you do is every paycheck, you put 10% of your money in metals. 10%. You know, and that don't you have to, you have to do more than that. And then pretty soon, because what it does, the metals maintain their value. They just maintain value. And right. See, when you do that every single time you get a paycheck, pretty soon you got, you know, a few hundred dollars saved up, a few thousand dollars saved up. Pretty soon you're like, and you don't touch the money. You don't touch the silver or the gold. Don't keep it at your house either, by the way. Keep it in a safety deposit box or a depository. Don't keep it at your home. That's too dangerous. But then you realize very quickly that, you know, pretty soon you start saying, well, what? This is great. I listened. The Richest Man in Babylon, probably one of the best books I've ever read. I remember I had a friend of mine. His name was Jim Burke. And I remember one time he was down here doing a seminar for me back in the 80s, and he took me to a silver shop. Jewelry store. I sold silver. And he was buying silver ingots. And I thought to myself, I kind of never heard of doing something like that. You know, I'm just trying to get lunch. You know, he's buying silver to put in his pockets. And I said to him, I said, Jim, what are you doing? He goes, you never lose your money on this stuff, Ted. He goes, always make sure you put money into this. And I had another friend of mine, I think it was Henry Minks. Now, both these guys are in heaven now. And Henry, I told Henry one time, I said, you know, I told him about that book, The Richest Man in Babylon. He goes, Ted, he says, keep 10% of your core assets in metals at all times. And I said, why? He says, well, you don't sell it. I said, well, what are you going to do with it? He goes, it just holds value. He goes, it lets you sleep good at night. Now you think, well, could gold go back down? Yes. Could silver go back down? Yes. But the long-term holding of these particular metals has been a good investment for people for thousands of years, Doug. I mean, gold is still worth what it was, if not much more than it was in the Roman times. Same thing with silver. You know, and so when we understand the importance of precious metals, we start to realize that, hey, we need to at least have a little bit of this in our portfolio. I mean, I have a friend of mine about 10 years ago. Yeah, about, I think he had six, but I think he had $700,000 in retirement, a SEP account. And I remember he was so smart. He said, the guys called up, we were getting any interest money way back when. He goes, called the guys up. He says, put it all in gold. I want it all in gold Eagles. And his financial planner, he told me about it. He got mad at him. He said, well, what are you doing? You can't do this. He goes, well, you're not paying me any interest anyhow. At least I can hold against a hedge against inflation. You pay $800 an ounce. Now it's $5,000, $4,000 an ounce. That's 800% return, Doug. Not 800%, 500% return. And so now, you know, he's got millions of dollars in a SEP account. And if he had left it in at minimal interest, he wouldn't have made anything with it. And see, and that's the thing that's so interesting about it is it holds retained value. So a lot of you go, well, it's too expensive. Well, then buy silver. Do it. But just do something that when you have it, you know it's yours and you know it's got retained value. Very, very important for everybody listening. But I'm not giving you financial advice because it may go back down again. It could drop in half again. And you say, oh, I've lost half my money. No, you don't. If you buy an ounce of silver for $50 and you basically say, well, it's $25. Now I lost $25. Why? Are you going to sell it? You still own an ounce of silver. If you don't sell it, you haven't lost anything. You bought an ounce of silver, you still own an ounce of silver. If you buy a Lamborghini and all of a sudden it goes from $500,000 to $250,000, have you lost $250,000? Not if you kept the Lamborghini. Because you still own the Lamborghini, which is what you paid for. But, of course, that's not a good investment. Those things go down. They stay down.
I mean, the depreciation of that asset. But I just sent Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech, I just sent you an image. I don't know if you can grab that. It's embedded in a message. Look. I have to me, and there are people that say, well, the Bible says you're going to be throwing your, you know, silver in the streets and gold in the streets or whatever. Look, the context of those passages is important. A prudent man knows what to do. There's the image right there, Ted. I have to, I can't read that, but hang on just a second here. I will read that. That's a visualization on your screen of how the dollar has declined in value. And not the value of gold risen, but the value of the dollar declined over time. And look, this year, now it's at 42. When this picture was taken, it was at a little over three, something like that, 3,000 an ounce. But you take an ounce of gold. It's got the same purchasing power today than it did in 1933. Okay. In the same time span, the U.S. dollar has lost over 99% of its purchasing power.
Well, and it's going to lose more than that, too, Doug, because the Federal Reserve Banks, I mean, Trump tries to fire one of these people for the Federal Reserve Bank. He said, Supreme Court says, you can't fire them. They don't work for you. They're completely independent. You know, when Rand Paul came in years ago and Ron Paul came in and they audited the Fed, you know, what did Bernanke say? Well, he said, what did you do with this $19 trillion? And he goes, oh, I don't know. We shipped it here. We shipped it there. We shipped it everywhere. What even answered the question? Didn't have to answer the question. If you want to see the guy behind the curtain who answers Lucifer, look at the boys from Jekyll Island. Yeah. You guys who know what I'm talking about right now, the creature from Jekyll Island, you'll see the guys behind the curtains down Building 7 because they run the planet because they control the monetary supply, and they answer to their buddy Lucifer. Just thought I'd mention that in passing.
And I find it very interesting, and this is a rabbit hole, Ted, that I've got kind of a little bit of a perverse maybe interest in this, but when you think back at the Titanic and you look at the whole scenario of the Titanic and the its sister ship, and
you know, John Jacob Astor was on the Titanic and they killed him, and the men weren't allowed on the lifeboats for the first time in history. The boats were launching almost empty because the women wouldn't get in without their men. And John Jacob Astor was the richest man probably in the world, except for the Rothschilds. And he was diametrically opposed to the formation of the Federal Reserve Bank in New York.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the Titanic sinks with him on it.
Yeah.
I thought I'd mention that.
Yeah, and of course the role of the captain of the ship, a Jesuit.
Oh, he was a high level Jesuit. I know all about it, Doug. I've done extent. You and I talked about it before on your show, and a lot of people believe the Titanic was sunk on purpose to kill these people who, these industrialists, because remember, J.P. Morgan had a ticket on that ship. He had just left the Vatican. Whoops, did I say that? And then basically he canceled his ticket on the ship. And J.P. Morgan was an agent of the Rothschild Bank. And suddenly J.P. Morgan basically says, I'm not going to take that trip. You guys have fun. I'll give my penthouse suite to somebody else. And he did. And they got on the ship and they died. And the first time in naval history, they did not have enough lifeboats. First time in naval history, the men weren't allowed on lifeboats. The first time in naval history, they were kept off the lifeboats by gunpoint. First time in naval history, they didn't have the proper flares for rescue. They thought they were doing party poppers. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
And the ship went down. And then the guys that wanted no Federal Reserve Bank on the Titanic were all killed. That's the power these clowns have. Look at 9/11. Look at all the gold that disappeared from the trade towers. Look at 9/11 mysteries. Watch that video. Watch Loose Change. Watch all those videos that were done after 9/11 talking about who was in charge and where the money went. Remember, gold to them is as precious as now as it was thousands of years ago. A lot of people believe that gold is used in some type of interdimensional transfers when they do things as far as from a spaceship standpoint. But we don't. I don't know about all that. I had a friend of mine.
I don't know, brother. I tried to use double-sided tape and just take gold bars and put it all over my nude body, stand out in the thunderstorm. Nothing ever happens. I'm joking.
Remember, the Ark of the Covenant was solid gold. And you couldn't even touch it. You'd be electrocuted and die.
Yeah.
They were walking across a river with it one day, a stream, and some guy reaches out to steady it, boom, dead. So all of this stuff is funny how it's the gold. They could have made that arc out of anything. They made it out of gold. So always remember that. The metal is very, very precious. And that's why I tell people, you know, if you put 10% of your assets in it, oh, well, forget it. Set it and forget it and forget you have it. And just watch it grow over a period of decades. That's how I say it. That's how I see it.
And you said something, too, during the Depression. I really, when we look at what's happening with land here in the U.S. as well as really globally, I would love to be able to have like a, what would be like a hobby farm, I guess, or have a place where there's enough acreage, you're self-sustained, you've got power, you've got your own power supply, your own water, your own livestock, you're self-sufficient. And I think that isn't that what the globalists are, you know, they want to just, no, you can't have that.
You know, back in the 70s, I went to Germany with my dad for the first time. And I'll never forget, Doug, we went to this neighborhood where my grandfather had been raised and lived, had a home there. And every single house in the neighborhood had a garden in the backyard, a big garden, like 60 by 70 feet. The whole backyard was a garden and they all raised their own food. And I asked them, I said, why do you guys do this? They said, Germany almost starved to death after World War One or World War Two. It ain't happening again. We were told to put gardens in. And see, now they don't really do that in Germany anymore.
Right.
You know, Germany's been basically, how should I say? I'll say it a nice way. They've been basically eviscerated. That's a nice way of putting it. They've been castrated, if you want to call it that way. They've been told so many decades of time now that they're all awful people, that they don't know what to do with each other anymore. They all, half of them want to leave Germany. They stopped reproducing, and they brought the Muslims in with Angela Merkel, who liked to poop in the streets and can't even be taught how to flush a toilet. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, that's unbelievable. They're peeing and pooping in the flower beds. I mean, it's just unreal what's happened in Europe and what's happened to Germany.
Yes.
And Angela Merkel, remember, she was a part of that Communist Youth League in East Germany, and she basically was the president. And I think that she finished the thing that Russia wanted to do to Germany and destroyed it with the Muslim immigration. And people say, well, if they hadn't done that, they wouldn't have any workers. They still don't have any workers. The guys can't work. There's all in the social welfare system. But I think it's time for Austin to come on, isn't it, Doug?
Yeah, yes, it is. And Ted, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, because a lot of respect for you, a lot of respect for all of the things you do, the information you impart to others on your show, the Austin Brewer Show. But even more importantly, folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com. We haven't said a word about your product. Teamhealthmasters.com has the best nutritional supplements on the market, in my view, and in most people's own assessment and experience. Teamhealthmasters.com. There are kits there that address specific issues. Ted and Austin put their reputations, their blood, sweat, and tears behind the product, their business. I would urge you to take part in their sale items, and every item they have is top quality. Whether it's, I mean, regardless, whether it's a piece of hardware, for example, a distiller to a nutritional supplement, folks, go to teamhealthmasters.com and make sure you shop from them, and especially for your supplement needs. 100%, folks. And hey, if for some reason you don't think, you don't like it, you want your money back, I'll give you your money back. I'm joking, of course, but the fact is, top quality supplements, the best on the planet. teamhealthmasters.com. Ted, thank you.
You're welcome. Like, HR5 is active tonight. So HR5, 5% off everything besides kids. And guys, remember this. We're not born of a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And this is the day and this is the evening that we will rejoice in it, because God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you and basically resurrected him. And by his blood, you've been sanctified. Always remember that. We have no fear in Christ. We only have power, a sound mind, and love one for another. They'll know that you're my disciples because you love one another. Don't be praying negative things towards people. Don't be doing imprecatory prayers. Pray for love. Don't put negative energy out there. Remember, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I love you guys, and thanks for your support, and thanks for praying for Team Health Master. Thanks for praying for Doug Hagman. And I'm going to change seats now. I'll also step in.
All right. Folks, again, that was Ted Brower. Look, like him, don't like him, the message is pretty clear, right? I mean, he's been consistent. I happen to like him, okay? As I like Austin Brower, his son. Let me tell you something. What a team they make. The father-son dynamic duo of Ted and Austin Brower. The Ted and Austin Brower Show, of course, heard every weekday morning. Just go to Team Health Masters or go to their show page as well. And folks, we have it... let me just triple check here to make sure it's, yeah, there it is. Browershow.com. That's B-R-O-E-R, browershow.com. And of course, Team Health Masters. You can spell that yourself. Teamhealthmasters.com. With me now is Austin Brower, the guy with the, I don't know, his biceps are about this, pretty close, or maybe even bigger than the, width of my thighs. Okay, so the guy can crush a cement block using his elbows. What the hell am I talking about?
I don't know about all that, but I appreciate the compliment on there. I'm trying to get everything situated with a second.
Yeah, I'm getting this right. I'm getting this, stretch. but anyway, I got to tell you, folks, I really appreciate everyone joining us, and I just want to take a second to remind everyone, if you haven't done so already, follow us on X, follow us on the different social media platforms. As I have time, I want to mention this as well, as I've got time to write on current events, in addition to all the projects that we have working. And I want to give a shout out, by the way, to ShatterOps, ShatterOps.org, Russ's reformulated team. God bless those guys. They're out there just taking care of business every single day, and pray for them, support them. I want to mention, because I'm going to have some time to write about current events, folks. I'm going to be talking to you not today, but sometime soon about my soon-to-be Substack home. Okay, right now I've got two. Don't do anything yet. I have to fix that. But going to be sharing some things from the past, and of course some current musings, as well as some really interesting things. So keep that in the back of your mind. Anyway, Austin Brower, teamhealthmasters.com. Austin, how are you? You all set now?
I'm fantastic, my friend. Doing amazing. Grabbed another purple stick and a Fit Food, and I'm ready to hammer it down. I told you guys two weeks ago, we had the cans in with the purple sticks. Did Ted talk about those yet?
No, he didn't talk. You know what? He didn't say one thing about Health Masters. Shame on him.
But he didn't.
Yeah. No, not one thing. It was like talking to somebody from Walmart. I'm kidding, but no. Go ahead.
Oh, we got them in. They're ready to rock and roll. They're on the website. You can pull them up. It's the Purple Sticks, the great formula that we have in a can. So it's something that you can put on the counter, take with you if you want to. It's really good.
Pass that over here. Let me see that.
Let me slide it over to you.
Yeah, hold it up for a second if you don't mind. Okay, so what is that the equivalent of? How many Purple Sticks?
It's got over about 30 sticks in it because we wanted to make sure that there was a lot so you could use it on a regular basis and keep it in your kitchen and not have to mess with tearing the packets open all the time. So this is the most efficient way to do it. We got them in. We did a small demo run, so we don't have a lot of them, but they're here. They're ready to go, and we've been using them, and Dad's been burning through them, which, surprise, surprise.
Yeah, I got to tell you, when you get geeked up on Purple Sticks and you throw a couple of half a dozen shots of espresso and
tension factor gets you too.
Yeah, that personally I just use a plastic straw and put a line of Purple Stick on the back of my 71.
I would recommend that. Would be good. But,
I'm sorry. Great products, folks. The Purple Powder Energy, the Purple Sticks, I'm telling you what, it really does a great job. It really does. It focuses your, there is a focus, level of focus, a level of energy, but it's a healthy kind of thing. So you don't have to be taking speed, dextrodrain, that's so 70s, right? Welcome, sir. What do you want to talk about?
One of the first things I wanted to cover, I brought it up earlier today on our show, and it's going into detail about GSK or GlaxoSmithKline, about the antidepressant Paxil. And I talked about it on the show because there's a huge, huge issue that's going on now with a massive lawsuit because they're showing that Paxil was neither safe nor effective for kids. And there was this huge journal that got published on it, and it later showed now that they hired a PR firm to ghostwrite the article, cherry-picked the data, recruited 20 co-authors to lend credibility, and then use that paper to market Paxil to doctors to give to kids and teenagers as a safe and effective antidepressant. And it's neither. And on top of that, it's got severe side effects. And one of the main issues they've been running into with it is suicidal thoughts and actions. And now there's this massive lawsuit going into it. So I've continually told people, when you're dealing with these antidepressant drugs, especially when it comes to children, you really, really need to do the research on it and look at it. The problem with this is GSK manipulated the test. They manipulated the safety data. They got the documents to show that essentially there was no serious safety risk. And now it's all coming out that they lied about everything. Which, surprise, surprise, they're right on the line with Pfizer. Now, Pfizer doesn't bother to freaking tell the truth about anything. And yet they just got that huge contract for Trump RX. We talked about it last time on the show, where they're going to do, direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical drugs now. And it's crazy to me how much this keeps escalating with the pharmaceutical companies with essentially no oversight. They don't have any aspect of accountability, and they keep doing more and more stuff. They get a little slap on the wrist, like we've talked about with the Sackler family, with OxyContin. They made $100 billion with OxyContin, and they got fined $8 billion. The numbers don't add up as far as deterrence for these guys to actually produce something that's not insanely addictive or has side effects or doesn't have all these problems with it, and they lie about it. So again, this is why you really got to do your research with this stuff and be very cautious with a lot of these drugs that they push on you at the doctor's office and understand that they do have side effects and decide if you really, really need to go on these, Doug.
Help me understand this. Okay. Hold the thought about Trump and what's going on with that, because we have to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I remember the recent hospital stay I had and, having them diddle my innards, after they did their knife work and all that stuff. But afterwards, okay, pretty much like every 3-4 hours, there would be a nurse that would come through the door. And of course, on each, she'd be carrying this like a small safe. And on each side was a fully decked out a guard, with a vest and a couple of AK-47s and all that, and escorting in this vault that took two people to open with key cards and codes and all this. And out came this small little pill, okay, that was OxyContin. And they would, watch me take it and admit. So all of this, okay. But you're only allowed to have so many intervals. And then afterwards, no more. And then they would come in and say, you know, they'd watch. They'd say, do you want some? No, I want a friggin' cup of coffee. I will step over that to get the coffee that you're not giving me. Okay, but I had that smuggled in, so I, that was taken care of. So here's my question on this. To me, okay, what the hell? Aren't we looking at the wrong product? I mean, the stuff that's killing us. Now, look, the opiate epidemic, to me, that's bullshit. Okay, it is not the that's not the prescribed OxyContin or the whatever it is. It's the fentanyl. It's the carfentanyl. It's the stuff that's being produced synthetically and brought in by the buttload, sometimes literally from China and Mexico and Canada and all this. Are sites set on the wrong? The war on drugs is, you can't have a war against drugs. I mean, drugs, it's just, the wording is wrong. My question is, to me, statins, the COVID jabs, the so-called vaccines or real vaccines, the stuff you're talking about, that's what we should be looking at, not this other stuff. I don't know. Am I wrong on that? Help me out.
No, I mean, a lot of the street drugs, obviously, there's a serious problem with the United States, but you have the largest drug dealers in the entire country are, you know, right at, down the street, listed as doctors in most cases, where they peddle this stuff out with full immunity in a lot of times, and they're selling the stuff. It's causing all these problems. I mean, I had a good customer come in today, and I helped him out. I'm getting him back in shape again, and he showed me his full blood work, and his cholesterol is almost perfect. His LDLs were a little high, but nothing really weird out of range. And he said the doctors pushed him multiple times now to go on statins, repeatedly. And he told me, also, I'm not going on statins at all, ever, period. I said, well, good. Don't. I said they cause so many problems, and they continually lower the rate of what they say the overall total cholesterol needs to be to continue to push these drugs to make people sicker. And then the side effects from the drugs cause more problems, and they come back to the doctor to give them more drugs. And it's this cycle that, you know, and RFK Jr. has gone into detail on it. You know, he's addressed it. He's pushing it. He's really making it an open topic, but he's getting so much pushback for obvious reasons, because this Pharmakia group, and they're the same ones that run the banks, they're the same ones that have run the money changers for, you know, thousands of years. They get into the pharmacia, they get into this magic as far as with these drugs. And I'm not saying some drugs aren't incredibly effective, because they are. If you need them for a specific reason, they're there for you. But this continual pushing of pharmaceuticals on as many people as possible with no concern about side effects. I mean, look at what's going on with Ozempic now. It's a massive multi-billion dollar class action lawsuit with the GLP-1s, because they're causing all these significant side effects. And, you know, it's AstraZeneca is going to run into an issue with this. This is a huge problem, because this stuff was supposed to be for individuals that had severe type 2 diabetes and were obese to help get their basically glucose under control and lose some body weight. And now they've continued, these doctors have continued to prescribe it, you know, off label. And now people are having gallbladder issues, pancreatic issues. I mean, the whole nine yards, because they want to lose weight faster instead of changing their diet, running something like the berberine and cinnamon extract, which that stack works great for all of our customers that run it, and changing your diet, getting your, you know, overall portion control under control. And they don't want to address that. They want to put people on more drugs to make them sicker. And so that's why I continue to encourage people, do your research. This is why we do what we do at Health Masters. We bring you the highest quality supplements possible. We bring you nutrition advice. I mean, Dad and I do a show every single day, just continually giving out free information. I mean, we can do all kinds of different things, but we decide to do that at that time to give people more info as much as possible. Same way you do it, Doug. And I appreciate the listeners, the customers, the people that write us emails. You know, we couldn't do it without y'all, but we do it for you as well. And so, again, I thank you for the support on that, because it's, there's a lot of weird stuff going on. I mean, a lot of weird stuff going on behind the scenes right now.
If I can just say this, I believe Health Masters probably saved it. This most assuredly changed my health, because between the kit stack that you have for blood glucose levels, as well as keeping your statins or cholesterol down, those packs work, folks. But let me just say this: you've got to. There's no magic pill out there, the supplement out there. You've got to commit yourself to change. If you do that, okay, and I'm not, you don't have to make drastic change. I mean, you have to change your habits. You can't expect supplements to work when you're downing, you know, a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew along with your double cheese pizza, right? So you've got to, but I'll just say this. Every product that Health Masters has to me has made a big difference, and it's been proved by blood tests and all of that. So I would urge everyone, if you have issues, long-term, chronic, or even acute, make sure you check with Health Masters and invest the money, because and take care of yourself, but you've got to stick with it. Okay, just every day, you got to stick with it, and you can do it. So teamhealthmasters.com for whatever supplement you might be in the market for. I'm telling you, it works, and I love it. So go ahead, Austin. I want to just really drive that point home, because I've seen a huge difference, and I appreciate that. So go ahead, sir.
Absolutely, Doug. And that's what, you know, I told my buddy today that was getting on the protocol with me. As I said, listen, I said, this isn't going to be something you're going to take for a week and all of a sudden it's just going to magically, everything's going to be better. You're going to have to run this protocol for a while. We can taper some stuff down with certain supplements the way we see, you know, how your blood panels are coming back. But it didn't take a week for you to get in this position. It took a long time. And so I said, so it's going to take also a long time to get everything back in normal range. And if people understand that, they change their diet, they cut the high fructose corn syrup out, and they start making changes. I mean, we're seeing so many issues now with liver issues, pancreatic issues. And there's another study that just came out we talked about today. Where was that out here? And it goes into detail on how essentially the pancreas is causing, where's it right here? Insulin resistance is a single driver of pancreatic cancer now. And it goes into detail how excess insulin overstimulates and inflames pancreatic cells. And we talked about on the show in detail. And the thing that everybody has to understand is that your blood sugar plays an enormous role in your overall health, maintaining overall glucose levels, maintaining what your diet, and that all comes down to your diet. The cleaner you eat, the more good, high-quality water you drink, the less, you know, refined sugar, carbohydrates you drink, the better your body functions overall. And getting that under control is one of the most important things. And that's why we bring the berberine. And it says right here how insulin fuels cancer cell growth. And it says beyond pancreatic cancer, high insulin has been linked to enormous amounts of other cancers. And so the action, when you start having issues with this and your insulin starts getting out of control, it causes a whole host of other problems in the body, and they all stack on each other. So you've really got to do your research and understand it's, if it is to be, it's up to you. The way you're going to do your diet, how you're going to do your overall health, it's your choice. You decide to drink, like you said, a 2-liter Mountain Dew every day. You decide to eat, you know, two or three things at McDonald's every single day. That's your choice. But understand there's going to be side effects to it. And if you got questions, we're here for you at Team Health Masters and healthmasters.com. And we do the absolute best we can to give everybody the information all the time, Doug.
Yeah, so, and, I mean, that's what we're here for. Folks, they're very responsive to your questions, to your concerns. They'll spend some time with you, and that's important when you're looking for the not just a quality supplement, but a little bit of guidance in terms of, you know, what you might be looking for. They'll direct you. They'll help you. They'll take the time, and that's extremely important. All right. Again, teamhealthmasters.com. HR5, according to Ted, of course, 4 or 5% off. Everything except the kits and the stuff that's on sale. But because those are already small margins of profit. So Team Health Masters, HR5 at checkout. Go ahead, sir.
Well, there's one topic I was going to ask your opinion on, it because, you know, a lot of these states and these legislative bills that they're trying to put together are all about monitoring and controlling the internet, as we've seen now. And this new bill that came out in California, Assembly Bill 56, it's essentially pushing social media platforms to have repetitive warning messages, monitoring almost all internet, having age limits. And it says here it's going to impose requirements on tech companies, particularly those in the field of social media and artificial intelligence. And they're going to be wanting to know, as far as all your information to get on, they're going to be monitoring everything that's happening. And essentially, they're saying here that they're going to have age verification and all these different warnings and monitorings. And, you know, I've talked so many times about how important it is to make sure you keep the young kids off social media. However, at the end of the day, it's almost like these states are starting to use the problem that they created with a lot of the tech as an excuse to spy on everybody, monitor everybody, and continually control the narrative with all these platforms. I mean, what do you think about a lot of these tech rules that the states are starting to put together with, you know, age requirements and warnings and all these monitorings on? Do you think it's just another stair step to try to really just control the narrative? So if somebody wants to talk about a certain topic, you know, they just yank it off. We saw it during COVID. It was most prevalent during COVID. I mean, with all of us on social media. And I mean, that appears the way it's going. What do you think?
Yeah, first of all, I'm longing for the day, back to the days of actually holding a newspaper in my hands. You can still get a newspaper, of course. But back in the day when that was the norm. Today, everyone, of course, is getting their news from social media. And that's not to say back then, you know, the newspapers or whatever were, the absolute truth for news, because they weren't. But I guess I'm referencing a more simple, easier time, because here's what I'm seeing right now. We are being corralled or pushed into this chute of this venue of online exchange of ideas. And yes, you'll get your news from the internet, social media platforms, any platform subject to 230 regulations, where they operate as a platform, not a publisher. And then, of course, they have the publishers. Come on. So what you're referring to me, and by my understanding of that legislation, which will spread across the U.S., it's a method to control the message as well as the messenger. And it's a precursor to something a little bit bigger, larger, and more controlling. And that, of course, is tying everything to a digital identity, including the money. So I look at that as just one small piece of the mosaic that creates this digital prison in which we will all be controlled. And if they don't like us, you know what, end of the day, or if they don't like our free thinking, what they're going to do is they're going to punish us by removing us as a person. While I agree, for example, that there should be certain controls, common sense controls, I don't think the intent or actually the results are going to work. And people, I think at the end of the day, and this is the last thing I'll say about this, people, you can't legislate morality. You cannot legislate.
Exactly.
You know, so it's, I don't trust the government with anything, and most assuredly, no. I don't trust them with allowing their.
Ever.
Exactly. giving them control over my voice. Okay. End of story. Go ahead, sir.
Well, one of the biggest issues that I've been reading, and this is an issue that I had during COVID. Here's an article right here. It says digital IDs are here. This is in the U.S. Why your physical driver's license might be obsolete. It said your smartphone could replace your wallet sooner than you think, as 20 states now accept mobile driver's licenses at airports and federal agencies. Most states will require you to carry physical IDs for now because many venues are not ready for this digital system. However, across the country, using your smartphone to legally prove who you are is becoming a very normal thing. And I watched this kind of unfold during COVID. If you guys remember this, when they had essentially the track and trace apps and, you know, the COVID vaccine as far as passports. And I brought it up, as I said, well, here's the problem. What if I don't want to have my smartphone with me? What if I want to leave it in a case in my truck, or I want to leave it at home, or I want to get away? And then it dawned on me, that's the entire point of this platform. All these phones are really, really, really fancy tracking devices that happen to make a phone call. Everything on them records what you do, where you go, what you talk about, what you look at. I mean, they're insane how invasive they are. That's why I tell you to throw a camera over your selfie, a tape over your selfie camera, to turn off your permissions with all these social media apps and be cautious of what you're doing or where you're going. It's not to be weird or paranoid. It's the fact that these things literally spy on you 24/7, listen and watch everything you do. And so when they start coming out, they're saying, well, digital ID, digital wallet, digital driver's license. You've got to show that now so we can scan it. That means that essentially you're not going to be able to go anywhere, do anything, buy anything, travel anywhere without having your smartphone on your person at all times, which means they're going to be able to track every single person all the time, listen to what you're saying, watch what you're doing, monitor everything. And so that's the issue it really ties into, is it's not like we have a little digital card we're going to have that we can, you know, have it with us or not have it with us. It's they want everything on the phones. And there's a reason why they want, and there's a reason why they're building hundreds of AI data centers, Doug, all across the country right now. There's a reason why they're doing it. It's not because they want to give us, you know, oh, a little faster internet for the peasants. You know, a little bit faster streaming on YouTube. They're building the center so they can monitor and basically dragnet every single part of information that's on the internet. And that's a serious issue when you look at it long term. And so, I mean, and there's a reason why, I mean, that's what's happening with a lot of the silver right now as well. I talked to somebody the other day and they were saying a lot of the contracts that are coming in now for these AI data centers, they need silver. They need it for a lot of the equipment that's in there. And so all of a sudden you've got this massive purchase of all this silver. And I mean, the London COMEX couldn't deliver the other day. And this is happening more and more and more now with the metals, because people are realizing, hey, maybe this U.S. dollar we've been relying on, maybe all this digital currency we rely on, maybe it's not that all great. And maybe you need to have some in your hands. And Dad talked about it early on the show, so I won't go into more detail on it. But there's definitely some aspects that are going on with the funding crisis right now, especially the liquidity with the repo loans that I've been looking at the last couple of days. A lot of stuff going on with it. So again, just stay aware of what's happening, be alert, and continue to, you know, keep your health. That's one of the biggest things, is keep your family strong, keep you strong, keep your health strong. Because a lot of other things, you know, you can't really control. They're outside of our control, but you can affect the health of your family and continue to make sure everybody's strong and mentally acute on a regular basis, Doug. And that's what we try to preach so much on the show and maintain it.
Yeah. And folks, again, the site is teamhealthmasters.com. And don't forget, for 5% off HR5 at checkout, except for the kits and certain on sale products. But I'm pretty excited about that canister, that can of purple powder energy. I'm telling you, man, that stuff really works. I'm just saying, along with every product there works. teamhealthmasters.com. So Austin, here we are. By the way, the government, federal government, is still shut down.
Yeah,
I haven't noticed. Well, there are certain things that, you know, that certain you are not being done. How is this going to end, in your view? I want to ask you, because I know you're up on pretty much everything. So I'll ask you, how's this?
It's starting to go in this weird, unprecedented territory, you know, where they're going to start laying off hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people essentially without pay. And it's kind of starting to escalate and trickle down. I mean, honestly, just from an economic standpoint, you start laying off, you know, close to a million people, you know, I mean, that has an effect on the economy, a big effect. The problem is the United States is the largest employer in the country. You know, the United States government, you know, .gov, they employ so many people, and they've been overbloated for years, for decades, and stuff needs to cut back. But the problem with it is a lot of this, it appears, is just more theater. I mean, the fact that this is actually a debate that they're allegedly saying, you know, we want to make sure we have, you know, free housing for illegals that come here and all this stuff. Is that really a debate in the United States and in a constitutional republic? Is that really a topic that's supposed to be, you know, we're going to shut the government down over this? And I think a lot of it's just more theater. I think something's going on behind the scenes with, you know, the financial markets, with liquidity, with the Federal Reserve. And I think a lot of this is being done as an excuse, as basically the narrative, as, you know, the curtain pull to make everybody think this is what's causing a lot of issues, when in reality, there's a whole lot of problems happening behind the scenes and has been for a while now that they don't want to have shown to the public. So the easiest thing is, we shut down the government. The economy is messing up now. There's nothing we can do about it. Nobody will reach an agreement. Okay, that's cool. Well, how about nobody gets paid in the federal government? It's basically in Senate and Congress, any aspect either. Everybody just gets $0. And essentially, you know, how about we charge them? How about we start charging them every single day? They start getting an invoice from we the people until they get it together. You know, each senator, each, you know, Congress. Okay, how about this? You're getting fined $1,000 every day, every single day. Fine. It's the government by the people, we the people, right? We're supposed to reach a point with everything where it functions smoothly. We're not just you know, we're shutting everything down because, you know, we can't come to an agreement. This is nonsense, in my opinion. And I think a lot of it's theater to obfuscate what's really going on with the financial sector. There's a reason why gold and silver are blowing up right now. And it's not because everybody feels real confident in the U.S. dollar. Let's put it that way. Just my opinion on it. What's your take on it with this government thing?
You know, good question. And I'm going to stutter now. Stutter more, I should say. No, the shutdown, I think, is, in a sense, is being used or even exploited by Trump and the people within that circle. And I think part of it is to rid certain departments of some people, to get rid of some dead weight. Now, is that like some genius move? No, I don't believe it to be. I think it's opportunistic, and I think it's the right thing to do. Now, on the other end, I think it does expose the agenda of the political opposition to the fact that, hey, you know what, they want the left in particular want to they want more funding for their pet projects and to shore up the illegal population in this country, and that's really a simplified explanation. But I think what we're seeing here, and I have to agree, I think a lot of this is pretty much theater. And I don't, yeah, it's theater. Okay. And it is, however, it is hurting many people in, sadly, the wrong people. It's hurting the wrong people. It's not hurting the rich, wealthy politicians. It's hurting the people who depend on government salaries that are working in the field and doing jobs that are necessary. So, but otherwise, it is political theater that's being, again, exploited by both sides. That's my view. I don't know how it's going to end. I really don't. But that's just me. But now let me flip the script on this and ask you, did you happen to see that question? I think it was today that was asked of Pelosi about January 6th, because, you know, it's so easy for us to forget things like January 6th and pretty much everything that has happened. And Eric the Tech, I don't know, I sent you the video here. It's like 27 seconds or 30. It's not long. I don't know whether you saw this. And folks,
I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, run it. Let's look at it.
All right. Yeah, you folks, pay attention to this. This is perhaps, this is the left now becoming absolutely, in my view, the body language analysis part of me is looking at this and saying, wait a second, these people are starting to get really worried now. Okay, there are little tells here and there, but check this out, folks. This is Nancy Pelosi being asked about January 6th, and I found this very interesting. Here it is.
Congresswoman Pelosi, are you at all concerned that the new January 6th committee will find you liable for that day? Are you at all concerned about the new January 6th committee finding you liable for that day? Why did you refuse the National Guard on January 6th?
Shut up. I did not refuse the National Guard. The president didn't send it. Why are you coming here with Republican talking points as if you're a serious journalist?
The American people want to know. We still have questions. Thank you.
Did you happen to see that?
No, I did not. You just shut up.
yeah, I wanted to toss it in there because to me, I'm seeing more and more. And Austin, I do believe, although it's not happening as fast as I would like it, but I do believe we're seeing some cracks in this, the rot that exists in our government, from Schiff to Brennan, or I should say that used to, in many cases, exist in our government. So I think that a lot of people are getting nervous, and they're believing, perhaps rightfully so, that they're next on the indictment list. Is that going to happen? I do hope, because if it doesn't, we're going to have to take care of it, and they're not going to like how we do it. So anyway, That's kind of been observation that I happen to make about events taking place today. So,
well, no, it's valid. I mean, you have right here this article that I talked about a couple days ago. It says FBI sent 274 agents to the Capitol for January 6th. They were essentially undercover with no IDs. I mean, this more stuff is coming out about this now, how involved the FBI was with setting this up. It says After Action Report states that 274 agents were in various locations on January 6th, the Capitol, U.S. Capitol and Capitol grounds, demonstrations turned to a breach of the Capitol building. And so when you start looking at this, you start realizing this was not as organic as they played it out to be. This is a serious involvement with the FBI, once again, trying to cause another problem that they can come in and say, oh, we've busted this, you know, this gigantic terrorist attack, this insurrection on the Capitol. We did the best we could. And the fact of the matter was, this whole thing was total theater, in my opinion, to identify a lot of the patriots, get a hold of them, and honestly, they arrested a lot of them. And the fact of the matter is that they sat in jail, some of them being, you know, almost tortured, transferred around from prison to prison throughout the whole country for, you know, 2, 3, 4 years. Boggles my mind that this went on, and yet these individuals, as far as in the FBI and Pelosi and all these other ones, they don't want to address it. They want to pretend like this didn't happen, which we're all aware now how insane the involvement was with the FBI in this, and how they essentially tried to set up this entire event, Doug.
Exactly. And to those new to this program, look, there were no police officers killed on January 6th at the Capitol. Okay, none, zero, none. There were murders that took place. The murder of Ashley Babbitt, Roseanne Boyland, and some others. Okay, and those were at the hands of the coup plotters, or the coup, the people following the orders of the coup plotters. Having said all of that too, you know, one thing that's not discussed, or I haven't seen much about lately. Well, there's rumblings here and there, but Austin, we haven't gotten any answers about what I would call building the building 7 of January 6th. And that is those pipe bombs. The pipe bombs at the DNC and RNC. And as far as I'm concerned, that was an inside job done either by Capitol Police. Again, my opinion, and I've got a lot of friends who are police officers. I have a lot of respect for the good law enforcement officers, but I do know there are bad ones out there. So either Capitol Police or agents of Capitol Police or agents of perhaps even the FBI. So we need to get to the bottom of the pipe bombing incident that took place on January 6th. And that's,
well, they're going to scrub that. I mean, they're never going to release any information on that. They're never going to go into detail on it. I mean, I remember when Dad and I first started asking questions about the whole thing with January 6th on the show, I said, how many machine guns were basically seized by patriots at the Capitol grounds? How many belt fed automatic weapons were seized? How many F4s were seized? This is an insurrection, right? This is an insurrection to essentially take over the government. How many weapon platforms were seized? The answer was zero.
Yeah.
Nobody went there to get in a fight as far as a gunfight. Everybody went there to protest a stolen election, and the FBI made sure they were setting it up to arrest anybody that actually essentially had the guts to say no, push back, and stand up. Were there some people there that probably did some stupid stuff, broke some windows that maybe weren't FBI agents? You know, they were involved in a lot of it. Maybe broke some things or stole some aside. I'm sure. Yeah. There's always a group of people to do some really idiotic stuff, and if they really got found guilty of it and they're on camera doing something like that, yeah, you need to be reprimanded for it. You can't go around stealing stuff from people or breaking, you know, as far as private property. But the vast majority of everything that happened there was complete theater. And yeah, again, we don't get any answers on the same way. And this is the thing that happens, what they've tried to do now. And they've done this really well with the mainstream media. And it's the banker boys behind the scenes that always do this. They try to make it so you almost confuse yourself by trying to figure out what really happened, right? You know, we saw Charlie Kirk get shot. We all saw the videos, right?
Yeah,
we all saw it. But yet we can't even determine ourselves or lay out 100% guarantee of how he was killed. Yeah, we all watched it. We question everything still. We're confused about what happened.
Is that a good thing or bad? to you.
Right. Was it a lapel mic? Was it a shooter on the roof? Was it somebody in the crowd? We have all these things that nobody can still figure out, yet we watched it happen. That's the overall goal of mind control. They want to make you watch something. They want to force you to endure something. And then they want to make it so confusing, so strange, that even with your mind seeing it, your eyes visualizing and seeing it, you still can't determine 100% what's real or fake. They did that. They did it.
Right.
And that's the crazy part we're watching now, is they have the ability to start doing that with the media and these events they do now. And everybody goes, well, this happened, or this happened, or this is the story with this. It's designed to do this. It's confusion, chaos. They want everybody to do this. And that's why I just said, after a while, I was like, I'm not going to keep going into this, because we knew everything they were telling us was a complete lie. The entire FBI narrative was a lie. The guy changed clothes, and he changed clothes again. He broke down his Mauser, and he put it together. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, obviously, we know that didn't happen. But again, Charlie Kirk, as I brought it up, he was an individual that was talking about the truth, talking about Christ, talking about the things that need to be brought up on an open platform in person. And they couldn't let him escalate. When he started calling out Israel and what they were doing in Palestine and questioning the narrative, that was something that essentially, I guess, is verboten now in alt media. But we reach a certain point now where everybody starts self-censoring subconsciously, because we're fearing reprisal of what may happen because of what they subjected us to, and we don't even understand it. That's what's starting to happen now with the media, and that's why it's so important with alt media to continue to get the truth out there no matter what. Keep up the fight. Keep up the truth. Ask questions. Nothing should be off limits at all, ever. You should be able to bring up anything. Doesn't matter what it is. Bring it up.
Look, I agree with you on that. And that's okay. Boy, a number of things here. Self-censorship. I absolutely have no patience for anyone out there who believes it to be necessary for the sake of clicks or for the sake of penetration. I got to be careful how I describe that. For the sake of the for being seen, okay, to misspell or not completely spell a certain word, whether it's Jew, Christian, rape, murder, whatever it might be, or even to bleep that out on YouTube or whatever. I'd rather be, I'm going to say what I need to say. And if you don't like it, go ahead and friggin' censor me. Okay. I mean, end of story, but I am not going to self censor me. Okay. Myself. Yeah, to me, that's like giving in. And what I detest, and I don't mean to impose upon your time, but I do want to talk about this, because what I see with Charlie Kirk, the investigation, but I have to toss this in, believe it or not, I got a threat that today I got a threat that I had to look at it and read it a couple of times, because it essentially was a death threat against me for something I said or I typed almost a year ago. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. But that kind of plays into what I'm talking about right now. And it surprised me, because I'm thinking, wait a second, where's this coming from? Why? Well, so let's advance this to the current subject about Charlie Kirk. There are a lot of well-meaning people out there, I believe this to be the case, well-meaning people who are saying, look, this doesn't look right and that doesn't look right. And folks, you're right. However, myself being an investigator in the both criminal, civil arenas for, my goodness, almost about 38 years now, almost 40 years. If I was asked or retained or hired or conscripted to investigate something, an event like Charlie Kirk, and they said, we want you to take a look and solve this case, but we're only going to give you low quality video and just a really small portion thereof. You really can't, we're not going to take you, or you really can't go to the scene. Whatever guardrails they put upon me. Okay. And then they say, we want you to tell us what happened. Well, it's really a fool's errand in my view. You cannot do that. If I say, look, I'm going to need the expanded medical examiner's report, autopsy report. Well, you can't have that. Now, in open murder cases, I don't believe people are entitled to that information. I'm just saying, in cases that have not gone to court. But all of that, the guardrails that people are trying to solve this case are so narrow that it's really an impossible task. But I think you hit it dead center. I think you nailed it. You said something to the effect of, okay, Charlie Kirk was engaged in this activity, calling out this, calling out that, and bang, you know, he's dead. I think this is where we need to take a look. I think this is where our attention needs to be, not trying to solve something from two-dimensional images that are very limited and questionable at best. So that said, I believe you nailed it. We should be asking, okay, what was the effect? What was the desired outcome? Did they achieve it? And what's happening right now? And I think, again, you nail it because, hey, you look what happened before and now the result, where are we at? And I think we're seeing some information out there that's, you know what, calling into question, not just the official narrative, but the objectives of those who planned, plotted, schemed, and perhaps enacted this event. Go ahead, sir.
No, you're absolutely right. That's what the overall goal is. You got to look at what the reasoning is, why they want everybody to self-censor. They want to shut him up. What was he talking about? I mean, why do we have these groups now from AIPAC coming in and trying to fund all the churches to basically promote, you know, Zionism all the time, even further and further and further? Well, you got a question. I mean, why is that allowed? But, you know, if you bring up anything that questions that, suddenly you're just blackballed. You can't talk about it. And I'm not picking on any specific group of people. What I'm saying is, in a true republic, there has to be a continual open dialogue to anything and everything. That's the point of a republic. The First Amendment ensures that. It doesn't matter if you don't like it. It doesn't matter if a certain group is offended. It doesn't matter if another person gets unbelievably mad. You having the ability to question anything and everything you want is the pure basis of a republic. And so when you start having a specific group come in and say, you can't talk about this, you can't say this, we're going to censor you. If you say this, we're going to cut your funding. I mean, look at what's happened now as far as with, you know, our Congress and the senators. I mean, it's like anytime these weird bills show up that nobody's supporting, suddenly you get all these votes all of a sudden out of nowhere. I mean, what do you think that's happened? Is they're getting compromised in many cases, and a lot of these guys probably want to make a difference, but DC's gotten so corrupt. And so that's why I've said, for the most part, get involved locally, work with friends and family locally, get everybody as healthy, as strong as possible, continue to get the truth out there and expand in grassroots. And that's about it. Because what we've seen now with this is that the overall goal is preventing people from being able to talk freely. If that's what their overall goal is, then why don't we push back continually? Why don't we continually say, absolutely not. I don't care what you do, where you go, what happens. We're going to continually talk about whatever the heck we feel like talking about with no compromise and no self-censorship. That's the very thing you have to do when this starts to happen. And that's what I've encouraged a lot of people to do. And the better mental acuity, the better cognitive function you have, the stronger you are, the more resilient you are, the more effective you are in that realm, because people go, wow, he's educated on this topic. Wow. He's well read on this. Wow. He's really smart in this this area. He's really good, you know, as far as healthy. Those are things that people look at and they go, all right. And that's what Charlie Kirk, you know, for overall, he was so educated on so many topics, he could respond super quick. That's what everybody has to start doing, is get your head out of Netflix, get your head out of the iPad, continually get the truth out there and stay well-read and well-educated. And that's why we have the articles on our website. We do the best we can to give everyone the raw material to absorb and take in and make your own decision at that point and do the best you can with what you have, because you shouldn't be allowing anyone to tell you this is what you have to believe and you can't question it. The very thing that Fauci did was compromising the First Amendment of the United States when he got up on freaking the podium during COVID and he goes, oh, if you question me, you question science. No, I'm just questioning what you're talking about. Why are we having to stand 6 feet apart? No, peasant, you can't question what I'm saying. It's a mandate. A mandate for what? A mandate because you just want to arbitrarily pick a number to tell everyone to stay away from? No, that's what they did, is they tried to keep everybody from speaking out and questioning anything. And that was the first really big phase I think we ever saw with social media and the internet, with a true hardcore censorship, with people being deplatformed. Because we went, listen, vitamin C is super effective for the immune system and maintaining overall respiratory health. It's been documented for decades. D3 is important for the macrophage as far as fighting off infections. D3 levels that are over 50, as far as when the blood test, have really, really less as far as side effects from when they get COVID. D3 is incredibly important for overall immune system. Can't talk about that. It's verboten. That's when you have to start talking about it. And that's why I appreciate your listeners and everybody that follows us. Continue to get the truth for these shows, for the articles. Keep everybody educated, because we're in a true information paradigm right now where so many people are questioning what's going on. They need some help getting access to the truth. And a lot of people are making changes and changing their entire way they think because of the information that's coming out now, because what we're doing and you're doing and multiple other all media platforms are doing, Doug.
And, you know, to that, and as well, folks who are listening to this or watching this, one thing I didn't do was emphasize the amount of knowledge contained, the amount of information that can be imparted to you, the listener, the viewer. When you go to teamhealthmasters.com, not only are there audio products, including Angel Wars, that series is an audio educational presentation, but also the articles, the information contained in the reports offered at Team Health Masters. Take advantage of that. And they're very well cited. All of them are well cited and extremely important. If you want to educate yourself on the important things for your health, take advantage of those. Take advantage as well. Take advantage of the Ted Nossenbrauer Show, both the current shows as well as the archives. And again, I point you to Angel Wars, as did Ted earlier. And Austin is one of the most well-read, in my view, individuals about just about any subject, from current events to health, and especially health. And you know what? Especially children's health. The health or the issues addressing the young children, because he's got young kids. So, folks, the wealth of knowledge at Team Health Masters cannot be understated or overstated. I'm sorry. So definitely go to teamhealthmasters.com and be sure to plug in right there to all of that, and take advantage of the sale or the HR5 coupon code and choose your supplements. But do it today. That's teamhealthmasters.com. All right. We've got about 4 minutes left, or about 3.5 minutes left. Closing thoughts, sir, because I know you got to get up early. Your schedule is one that demands a lot from you. So I appreciate that. I appreciate your time and Ted's time tonight. Any closing thoughts?
Well, it's funny you said that as far as about the kids, because I was on the phone with one of my good buddies earlier, and he was asking about a lot of these topics again, because he's very well read. And he goes, well, Austin, it reaches a point, you know, when we talk about all this, he goes, what do we do? And I said, the first thing you do is you keep raising little Americans, because he's got kids too, and they're healthy, they're strong, they're active, they're trained. And I said, you keep raising little Americans. You keep raising them on the truth, values, biblical principles, and continuing to understand how important it is to be combat effective, to know how to defend yourself and your friends or your family or your mom or your sister across the line. I said, that's the most important thing we can do. I said, because if you stop raising little Americans and all we raise are little idiots that are sitting on iPads from 2 until whenever, and all they do is watch garbage in, garbage out, they eat garbage, they're going to be the next generation that does absolutely nothing. They're just going to follow orders. They're not going to question anything. They're going to be so complacent. It's going to be nauseating. And so that's the best thing, I think, you know, for family and friends. If you got kids, if you got grandkids, niece and nephews, put time into them, instill knowledge into them, continue to encourage them to be strong, to be a leader, you know, and know how to handle situations, because that's what our job is to do, is raise these young kids properly. And I feel like we've lost that a lot in this generation now, because everybody just wants to have an iPad or a TV or an iPhone to babysit these kids because they don't want to have to mess with it. And that's a bad place to be in this country, Doug, especially with what we're dealing with right now with this information war. It's that time more than ever to be directly involved in your kids' health, their mental health, their physical health, their spiritual health, and continue to push them forward in the best direction that you possibly can. That's my take on that, and keep them just strong and healthy.
You know, the promise of our children, man, that is so important. When we look, when for those people out there who really care about the future, that begins in our own homes. That begins with our own children. That begins with us teaching them, and also keeping them as healthy as possible, teaching them a proper diet, as well as giving them the best supplements out there. And I would say this, follow the lead of both Ted and Austin Brower and the Brower family, and I guarantee success if you do what they do. And